Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome into our studios Greg Santos. And Greg is the director of Theater by the Sea's first presentation this summer, Million Dollar Quartet, and it's a great production and a lot of fun and a lot of music, and we're going to find out about the show itself, listen to some of the music, and before we do that, we'll find out a little bit about Greg. Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here with us. A tradition here at WCRI where we bring in someone from each of the shows presented at Theater by the Sea. And you're the first for this season, other than Bill Haney himself, who's always here. But you're the first this season. So we're kicking off what hopes to be a semi-back-to-normal season.
Yes, fingers crossed for all of us that we get back to some kind of normalcy.
Right. Now, let's start a little bit about you. You're the director of this production, which we'll talk about. But where did all of this interest in theater start? Was this a high school thing before that?
Very much so. Before that, I was a young professional actor in Western Massachusetts and kind of rode that wave through high school and through the beginning of college. And then I was one of those people that lasted a year in college and then ran right away to New York City.
There you go.
Yep.
A year in college and then I'm out of here and
exactly
into New York
right.
City. Now, how were those early days in New York City? Immediate success, right?
Oh, of course. No, never. It was a good, I had been a young actor, so it was a good time in my life at 19 years old to become an adult. So I kind of stepped out of show business for a few years and learned how to live a life in New York City and make ends meet and all those things.
Wow.
So once that all happened, I started, you know, working in piano bars, entertaining. And then I started to direct some stuff, some cabaret shows and comedy shows and sketch shows. And then, you know, P.S. 15, 20 years later, I find myself now as a director producer in New York City.
There you go. Well, that's an interesting path. Most people, you know, once they leave, don't come back. But
yeah, it's in your blood. I know it's a cheesy phrase, but I can't leave. This is me.
That's excellent. All right. And from New York City, did you have an opportunity to tour the country or leave the country at any time?
Absolutely. This actually is the 10th production of Million Dollar Quartet that I've worked on. So besides, I've done Cape Playhouse and the Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival and a production in Cleveland and the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, Arkansas Rep. I've been all around with Million Dollar Quartet. But I'm lucky that I worked as an associate, which is kind of like a click above an assistant for a director for many years. And so when he was otherwise engaged, I would get sent out on the road to take care of his show and put it up in a new city for him.
Okay. So a lot of that with Million Dollar Quartet. And unfortunately, some people don't know about Million Dollar Quartet yet, but they will in just a few weeks because it's going to be at Theater by the Sea opening this Wednesday.
Correct. May 25th.
There you go. And tickets are still available. A few of them, not many, but tickets are available by going to the box office at theaterbythesea.com, or you can always call the phone number 401-782-TKTS, or that's 8587. And you talk to Vinny. Vinny will fix you up, and you'll be seeing this wonderful production. And a lot of people, if they're listening to WCRI and they think Million Dollar Quartet and they're not familiar with the play, they probably think of my quartet because, you know, why not? But no, it's not a quartet of actual people like the Beatles or the Beach Boys or my quartet, but four people that are relatively famous, I would say, in the music world, right? And tell us how this all transpired.
Well, we know that the basis for Million Dollar Quartet is an actual event that happened. On December 4th, 1956, Sam Phillips, the record producer, Sun Records, which he founded in Memphis in 52, by happenstance, Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins were all, who all started with him, who all, he made music with them all. They all ended up in the studio on the same day. And Sam was smart enough to hit record in that booth. So actual recordings exist. Now, this is a dramatization and it's a piece of entertainment, but we use that, the writers use that as the starting point, this actual event that happened.
So the actual event back back from those days, it must have been a pretty exciting place to be. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. Right.
you can't even kind of comprehend it. I mean, they were so young in 1956. I mean, they were all in their early 20s. And to know where the heights that they were all going to rise to must have been a rather amazing thing.
It was very amazing, I'm sure. Let's get a little music in to set the mood. And this is famous to a lot of people, Blue Suede Shoes.
Correct, Carl Perkins. Now, here's a little something you learn at Million Dollar Quartet. This is a song that Carl Perkins wrote. Most of us think about Elvis Presley when we hear this song. And you'll learn why we think of Elvis Presley instead of Carl Perkins when you come see Million Dollar Quartet.
On December 4th, 1956, one man brought Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley to play together for the first and only time. That man was me, Sam Phillips. The place was Sun Records. And that night, we made rock and roll history.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready.
Well, now go, cat, go,
but don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Well,
you can do anything,
but
lay off of my blue suede shoes.
You can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place.
Do anything that you want to do, but I'll honey, lay off of my shoes. Now don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Well,
you can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
My house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar.
Do anything that you want to do, but oh, honey, lay off of several of these shoes. Now don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Well,
you can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. It's a blue suede shoes. Blue suede shoes. Blue suede shoes.
So you can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
Okay, we're all in the mood now. Very, very familiar song to lots of people. And you'll hear many familiar songs as you go through this production at Theater by the Sea. And I do want to make sure that everybody knows Theater by the Sea's ticket office is open, it's actually open anytime. You can order tickets in your pajamas on a Sunday night, anytime, because you can go online and do that. Just go to theaterbythesea.com, and there you can find a way to order your tickets right online. But the best way to do it is during box office hours, call Vinny, and he'll fix you up. We're talking to Greg Santos, the director of Million Dollar Quartet. And Greg, is it just those four people in this whole production?
Well, it's not. So we have obviously the big four, or the boys, as we call them, Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins. And then we have Sam Phillips, who is the producer who's there. He's kind of our narrator through the play, talks right to the audience and takes us through the night and what happened. And then we also have, and it helps us be able to change, mix up the music, so it's not all the boys. Elvis brings his girlfriend, Diane, with him that night. And this is someone that they made up when they wrote the play, this character, Diane. But Elvis did bring his real girlfriend, Marilyn Evans, with him that night. And she does sing on that recording. So in our show, her name is Diane. And that allows us to have some female tunes from the era, some female rockabilly tunes.
Well, there you go. All right. I guess I missed the Elvis Presley girlfriend by the name of what again?
Her name was Marilyn Evans. She was a Las Vegas dancer. She met him in Las Vegas, and they hit it off. And then he flew her down to Memphis to come in a few months later. And she happened to be at the recording session. Oddly enough, I was just talking about this with the boys a few days ago. They found the real Marilyn Evans a few years back, living in California, having had a full life with children and grandchildren.
Right.
And she had heard that the show existed, but she didn't know that she was part of it. And it was funny to read her take on it. She didn't appreciate it that night. She didn't think it was that special of a thing being in the mm-hmm. moment. And she had very few tactile or real memories of it. but boy, to be she was the fly on the wall of history
right.
that night.
Right. All right. Okay. Well, let's get to another song. This is Who Do You Love?
Yes, Carl Perkins.
Come on, fellas, let's do it like we done in Dallas last week. I walk 47 miles of barbed wire, use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house on the roadside, made of a rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney made on top, made of a human skull. Come on, take a little walk with me, Arlene, and tell me, who do you love? 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 I got a tombstone hand and a graveyard mind. I'm just 22 and I don't mind dying. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
One of the things that the audience is not necessarily familiar with at Theater by the Sea is that it's always live music. There's no canned productions. There's no, you know, soundtrack going on. It's always...
Every city that I've done Million Dollar Quartet in, every usher tells me, every house manager tells me that they're asked every night when the show's over, well, they weren't really playing. Who's making the music? These guys are making the music. Also in the play, I should have mentioned before, are Brother Jay and Fluke. Brother Jay is the bass player and Fluke is the drummer. Brother Jay is actually Carl Perkins' brother and recorded with and toured with him many, many times. So those guys, they have lines, they have characters, they're on stage the entire time. They're really, really, really the heart of the whole entire thing. I mean, those guys are backing every single tune.
So this isn't like you see someone fake playing the piano.
No fake playing in this one, no. everything that you hear... maracas, tambourines, drums, bass, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, all the vocals, all live, all those people on the stage.
Wow, amazing. All right, time for one more song before we take our first break. Folsom Prison, right?
It is. It's a great Johnny Cash tune. When I first started the show, I had to figure out how to get past all the problematic stuff later on in the fellas' lives. So I really focus in on 1956 when they're young and fresh and maybe not so troubled by some of their demons later on in life. I think for my money, this is the penultimate greatest Cash tune.
Excellent. We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
I hear the train a-comin', it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio.
just a baby. My mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. And I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Come on, play some that guitar, Carl.
There's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep on moving, and that's what tortures me.
One more time, boy.
This prison, if that railroad train was mine, then I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Million Dollar Quartet at Theater by the Sea is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, pleased to be sitting with the director, the big boss, Greg Santos, is here and explaining a little bit about the show and how it got started and how it originated. And Greg, we want to mention that the three songs we listened to in the first segment were not actually, you know, Johnny Cash or so forth.
What we've been playing is the original Broadway cast recording. And I think that that's an important distinction, and that's the difficulty for me sometimes when we're doing these productions and trying to cast them, is I need the people to favor the folks, favor Elvis and favor Johnny Cash, but I never want anyone to do an impersonation. This isn't a legend show, or
right. It's
not one of those kind of things. So it's really about finding what the essence of the person is,
mm-hmm. And
then making sure that we can bring that through the rest of the play. The heaviest lift always, of course, is Elvis, because that's the one that everybody has immediate cognizant sense memory of.
Right.
Yeah. So they do a great job of evoking the fellows that they're playing, and stylistically being those fellows, but making sure that they're able to bring their full set of skills into what we're doing.
Well, as an audience member, I'd say, that's all right. Which leads us to the next song.
A little bit of Elvis Presley.
There you go.
Told me, Mama done told me too. Son, that gal you fooling with.
Greg, one of the things I had thought of when I was listening to that last song, in 1956, was Elvis the big shot?
Well, you know, he was 21 in 56, and our play does address this. It was right after Love Me Tender, which was not well received.
Right.
And he had just kind of bounced out in Vegas. The Colonel had sent him to Vegas. It was his first booking there. And it was kind of very supper club, and those people didn't want to see him, and his fans couldn't get in, the young people who did love him. Mm-hmm. So when we get Elvis, he's kind of on a rebuild. He's exploded and was gigantic, and then he's now trying to put it all back together. And that's one of the main storylines in our play, is that he's come to try to get Sam to leave Sun Records and go up to RCA in New York to work with him.
Yeah, because if someone had asked me, I would have said, 1956, that seems like early Elvis to me. And, you know, maybe, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis was the big shot or the, you know, big box office draw.
I think at the time, Carl was actually the one because of the tunes. Carl, and we talk a little bit about in the play, Carl was in a terrible car accident. I think it was in 1954, 55. They were driving from down south up to do the Perry Como show, and they got in a car accident. And I think he was for months and months in the hospital. And who is his replacement but Elvis Presley? So there's some conflict in there that we explore in the play, that these young fellas were all competing with each other at that very moment in a weird way.
Right.
And nobody... In my mind, I think of Carl as the most famous. Johnny had had a few hits, but nobody was the superstar that we think about them as now.
Right. And interesting, down the road, looking back, he would probably be the least famous.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's everybody, you know, you got to look a little bit like Elvis. You got to look a little bit like Johnny Cash. Yeah. You got to have the Jerry Lee curls. Right. Nobody knows what Carl Perkins looks like.
There you go. There you go. All right. Let's go to a song called Down by the Riverside.
The Riverside. So this is one of, there's two moments of some gospel spiritual that they recorded many spirituals on the actual night on that real recording that exists. We do a few in our show. So this is one of the times that it's just beautiful tune with the fellas singing a cappella four-part harmony.
There you go. All definitely the best.
I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside. Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my burden
down by the riverside. I'm study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't it gonna study war no more. Ain't
it
gonna study war no more.
Well, I'm gonna drive up in my new Cadillac down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna drive up in my brand new Cadillac down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more.
Well, ain't it gonna study war no more. Ain't it gonna study war no more. Ain't it gonna study war no more. Well, ain't it gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't it gonna study war no more.
What you gonna do?
Well, I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside,
I said down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield.
Say where?
Down by the riverside,
ain't gonna study war no more.
Well,
I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more.
No, no, no,
I ain't gonna study war no more.
I ain't gonna study war no more.
Great singing to look forward to in the Million Dollar Quartet, and they would not be my image of what four guys sing a cappella would look like, but there you go. It can work. You know, it's interesting if you think back on Elvis in his early career with the Jordanaires particularly. a lot of his stuff was gospel related.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just read some fascinating observations and remembrances from Darlene Love that she sang with him during those gospel days, and that they really bonded over his love, their mutual love of gospel music. And I don't know anything, but I would assume Elvis would have just kind of lived in the gospel world if he could have, if that would have been a thing that could have happened.
Right. I believe you're correct. All right, we have time for one more song before we take our next break, and that's a famous one, I Walk the Line.
I mean, I'm not like all the boys the same. I'm the director, so I care about everybody the same.
No favorites.
But Johnny Cash, these tunes, I mean, you know, I think they're stellar. I don't think there's any, and they're all fantastic. All the tunes are fantastic, but I'm a Johnny Cash fan.
All right, here we go. I Walk the Line.
On this heart of mine, I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine. I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine. I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I knew I'd even try and turn the tide, because you're mine. I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Theater by the Sea's first presentation of the new season is Million Dollar Quartet, and that's the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Greg Santos, the director of Million Dollar Quartet. We've been talking about some of the famous songs that came from there, and songs that are parts of a lot of people's lives over the years. You had an interesting theory that
Absolutely.
You mentioned to me during the break about, you know, how people come to musical theater, and this might draw a different crowd.
Yeah. Knock wood, Million Dollar Quartet has been very successful. The productions, I think every production, people enjoy the show. And I have two theories about it. One is it's older folks go to the theater, and who buys the tickets? The woman or the wife in the pair. It's an easy sell to their husband. Let's go see Elvis and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins. You're not asking them to go see a musical per se, but
right.
You are.
Our
it's
opera.
A musical. Right. So I think that that's part of it. And then the other thing that I notice is these tunes fire off some kind of sense memory for folks in their brain, and it reminds them of going to the prom and making out in the back seats of cars and all the things of their youth. And so often you'll see during the show somebody put their arm around their wife or husband, or those kind of connections of memories attached to those songs, and even getting up and dancing in their seats, and you know, at the end together, it's a truly unique musical theater experience.
Excellent. And if you'd like to get tickets, don't wait any longer. As soon as this program is over, get online and go to theaterbythesea.com to order your tickets, or you can call the box office during the week at 401-782-TKTS, and those numbers are 8587. So call Vinny, get your tickets, and if you haven't been to Theater by the Sea, it's a beautiful spot for a show, a great summer evening take, where you can get there, walk the grounds and see the beautiful gardens, have a beverage at the gazebo, all kinds of things to do at Theater by the Sea. It's in a beautiful spot and very comfortable, has all the creature comforts that weren't there years ago. Now there's air conditioning and everybody's happy now. So, see, Greg, you weren't. This is your first time at Theater by the Sea, right?
It is. You know, I can't remember what show, but I saw a show as a young person growing up in Massachusetts one summer. I would have to guess in the early mid-80s here, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, well, back in those days, there was no air conditioning, and I can take it from me as a guy that sat through a lot of shows and was in and on stage for a lot of shows. It got pretty warm in there sometimes.
Oh, I can imagine.
So right now we're glad for those new creature comforts, the new bathrooms, everything that Bill Haney has done to improve the grounds and the facility. Well, we're talking about the show that opens on Wednesday, which we call, it's not really the real opening, right?
No, we call it the preview. So we give ourselves two or three passes, usually, before we officially open. So that way we still have some time to make those little tiny changes that we need to make and fix the lights and make sure that it's all picture perfect and beautiful and ready to go for you on opening night.
Now, those theater prices for the previews are slightly less than the regular shows. And hypothetically, although I've never seen it happen, you have the ability to stop the show and fix things, right?
Well, not during a preview. I would never do that. But it is a great way to gauge what a local audience, how they're going to feel about it. So then I can make some adjustments and reinterpret things that I perhaps have thought. Okay. And said, oh, well, Rhode Island doesn't feel this way about it. So let's look at it from a different angle. So those are, they're called previews, but I call them fact-finding missions sometimes.
Oh, that's a great term. All right. Well, as we go musically through the show, our next song is I Hear You. I Hear You Knocking.
Yeah.
And tell us about this.
We finally get to hear some Diane. So this is Elvis's girlfriend, who in our play we know is a singer on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. And so the boys cajole her to sing Fever, which we're not going to play for you today, but no, you get to hear Fever if you come to the show. And then Diane and all the boys do a little medley of I Hear You Knocking and the song Party. And I think it's the most exciting 10 minutes of the evening, besides the fantastic and mind-blowing finale. Greg, before we hear another song from the female and group, the party that which you mentioned, let's talk a little bit about the fact that Theater by the Sea is also known for some great set design and some things, the way that things work. You've already mentioned the band will be on the stage instead of the pit
And nowhere in the theater world is the term pit better used than a theater by the sea, because it really is down there. But for your show, everybody's on stage.
Correct. We have an amazing set from the set designer, Kyle, who works here lots, season after season. And it's a recreation, our interpretation of Sun Records, Sam's studio. We learn in the play, we give some information, but, you know, Sam created and built Sun. It used to be a chicken coop. It was a feed store. Someone told me once it was a gas station at times. He hung every sound tile in that building. And so that sound that he produced in that ramshackle place is completely unique, and no one could manage to reproduce that. And I think they did. I think the big record companies were a little flummoxed by him. How is this guy doing this down there in that little crappy box?
Right.
And he somehow figured it out. And if you really, if you're a fan and you're really honing in on Sun Records, and especially the 54 to 56 kind of music, it really does sound like nothing else.
You know, it's funny because as you're talking and you mentioned Sun Records, as a kid, I can remember my brother is 7 years older than I am. So he was growing up in the 50s, and I can remember some of his 45 records with the Sun actually around the hole in the
record. Oh, yeah.
So that might be a memory for someone, too.
Oh, yeah, and you'll see the set. I don't want to give the set away, but there's some beautiful set elements, including some neon stuff with the Sun sign, and it's really, really, really spectacular. It's interesting to me, as I've done so many productions, to see everybody's different take on what their Sun Records is. And I'm not a purist, so we don't need it to look like it looks. I want it to be theatrical and look like how we want this version
right.
to look.
Use your imagination.
That's exactly right.
All right, let's get to that other song called Party.
Party.
All right.
All right, fellas, let's kick this party into high gear. Then we got to get. Some people like to rock, some people like to roll. We're moving and a grooving, gonna satisfy us all. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's send them to the store. Let's buy some hornets. Have a party tonight. Well, baby, paint your lips and regulate your wig. And bring along a shovel if you really want to dig. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Greg, we have a couple more songs we're going to play from the show, but I want to thank you for coming in tonight and giving us this synopsis of what's going to be a fun, fun night.
It's going to be a blast. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's been a great time.
It's been great, and the show goes in preview this Wednesday, and then I'll be there on Friday night for the official grand opening. And maybe I'll see you.
You definitely will. I'm going to look for you. I want to hear what you think.
All right. Are you pacing in the back or are you sitting down?
I'm pretty good at sitting, but if things go sideways, I've been known to scoot out to the lobby.
We'll look for that. One more time, Theater by the Sea is making this presentation of Million Dollar Quartet. It opens Wednesday, May 25th, and the last performance is Saturday, June 18th. So don't miss that. You got a few weeks to see it. After that, Theater by the Sea will be presenting Footloose, then Cinderella, and the last show for the season will be Kinky Boots. All great, great shows are going to be at the theater this year. Don't forget to check for tickets by calling the box office at 401-782-TKTS. The numbers are 8587. Or go to theaterbythesea.com and order your tickets right there online. All right, we have these two songs to go out with, and I think it's important that you mention something you mentioned to me during the last break, which is how you look at these characters in 1956.
It's important to me that everybody went on to amazing successes, but they also went on to have some problematic things happen later on in their lives. So it's really important to me, especially for the people that I'm working with, and whenever I pitch it to a theater or when we go, that we look at these boys squarely, and I call them boys by design, so that because they were boys, they were in their 20s at this time, that yes, they go on to have tragedy and complications in life, but at this moment in time, they're young men without all those things, haven't happened to them yet, and they're just making amazing music. So I always want to make sure that we don't cast any of our morality or our ideas on these superstars in 1956.
Right, and this is a little window in time, as they say.
Correct.
We're going to close out with Great Balls of Fire, and then you mentioned that there's a big finale.
There is a big finale. I don't want to give too much away, but know that the last 15 minutes of the show, you might feel like maybe you're not even at Theater by the Sea anymore. Maybe you're at an amazing concert in 1956. You'll have to come and see.
All right. All right. And that's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Once again, thanks, Greg, for being here. We look forward to seeing you and hope you have a very, very successful run. And maybe this will be the first of many times for you at Theater by the Sea.
Fingers crossed. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. We're going to go out with those two songs, and then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
You know, you can say it's the devil's music. You can say it ain't even music at all, but there are times when we're in here working on a song hour upon hour, and those boys give it 10% more than what they thought they had. They know it, and I know it. Then they all go home, and I'm here by myself, and I spin them tapes back, and I listen, and I think, my God, this is where the soul of a man never dies.
See, my love's angry right out of my brain. Too much of love, top of a man insane. You put my will, pull out the field. It's a bitch, she's great balls of fire. I left your love and I thought it was funny. You came along and you moved me, honey. I changed my mind, your love's fine. It's a bitch, she's great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby. Well, fine. I'm so kind. Wanna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I can barely stand it through the bottles. A little nervous, but it's always fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. You just raise those great balls of fire. Fine. I'm so kind. Wanna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I took my nails out of the bottles. A little nervous, but it's always fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. Dude, this is just great balls of fire. Horn.
sugar, baby. Oh, little sugar boy.
Oh, now let's get real low now, boy. Now see, all you gotta do, dog. Stand right there in one spot. Just wiggle it around just a little bit. See, that's how you know you got something. And if you ain't got something, darling, you might as well hang it up, because you ain't going to get nothing. Now let's give him something to go home to. Throw the lid off this one.
Let us say, baby, say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.